Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and the spirit of the seasons of love is here. Enter the Broadway lair, but only if I'll cover you. If friends are what the holidays are for, then I should tell you that if you take me or leave me, then we'll be on the street in Santa Fe. Joining us today are the usual squatters that support the arts, including Kevin Live Again Jaeger.
Yes!
He wrote that song.
He did! Kimberly, our Christmas Bells game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I love Christmas.
Oh, so good.
And with us today is someone you may have heard as the Evil Tree in 2020's 'Twas the Night of Broad Wasted. You've also seen him on tour in the 25th anniversary tour of Rent. Let's give a big Broad Wasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show!
Jeremy Abrams!
You're ready for this?
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you. Thank you for taking the time. And you know, as we start every episode, what are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
So I have a nice Chardonnay. I buy my Chardonnay by the box. Socially responsible. It's a recyclable box, and yeah, very nice.
Yes,
I love that glass.
Tip it.
Come on.
Good wine.
TJ Maxx.
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I'm going to be pouring myself tequila. I'm just having some water right now, but I'm going to get me myself tequila in a second.
Beautiful. Kimberly, what are you drinking? I hear that ice clinking.
The Great Nine Gin and Tonic again.
Oh, from, nice. With that teal wax.
Dennings
teal.
Point Distillery. Yes.
Yes.
Wax seal.
And I am drinking tequila, but my ice has melted. So now it's just tequila with a splash of water.
What? What?
That's all right. I don't mind. But Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. And we just got to start off with the hard questions. What's your favorite musical?
Okay. My favorite musical is Marie Christine.
Yes!
Oh, that's a first. If I had a sound effect, I would be like, that's a first.
I went to this performing arts high school. Shout out to NOCA, New Orleans Center for Creative Arts.
Cool.
And yeah, a girl in my class did a song from Marie Christine, and I was obsessed with it.
Which one was it? Was it the I Will Love You?
She did Too Much. She'd Tell Me.
That song's so good. That show's so good.
And I had already known about Audra McDonald from Ragtime, but this show kind of opened my eyes even more to her and Darius de Haas as well, who was in that. So, yes, I will say that is my favorite show. Although I've never gotten to actually see it live, I did go into the Lincoln Center Library and watch the recording of it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say that is my favorite show.
Whoa, this is actually a crazy thing because we didn't bring you here to interview you. We brought you here to do Marie Christine.
Hey!
I've done it in the car on a date once. Needless to say, I did get a second date. So
yes,
I'm prepared. I'm prepared. Yeah, to play all the parts.
Amazing.
I do not know that show at all, and now I'm going to listen to it tonight.
Can you imagine being on a date and someone being like, "This is conversation's going well, but how is your Pirates of Penzance?"
I really enjoy your company. Let's listen to this show about this woman who kills her babies so that her husband doesn't take.
Yeah, it. It's like straight up Madea.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh no.
It's like New Orleans, like Creole, like Madea.
Yes. Oh, cool.
Yes, Vivian Reed. So many fantastic women are in this show. So many.
And yeah. it's like full on, like it pulls a lot from opera because it's like very like, I mean, obviously with Audra, but like yes. It really plays on like the new opera sounds. Mm-hmm. So it's very like, and moments are almost atonal just because it's so beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Michael John Lacusa wrote it. I think he wrote it for Audra or with her in mind, at least.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Because that thing fits her like a glove.
Oh, what yeah. A good pick.
Yeah.
where are you from originally? Like, how did you get into it? Were you around the city? Were you not? Was it community theater? Was it movie musicals?
So I was born in New Orleans, and I grew up right outside New Orleans in a little town called Slidell, Louisiana. I did not grow up with any real, you know, knowledge of musicals or musical theater. I was a piano kid. I played a lot of piano, and I sang in a lot of choral music. And I would say around ninth grade, my choir teacher was musical directing a show at the local community theater, a show called Forever Plaid.
Yes.
She was like, "We really need a bass. Do you want to come and audition for this musical?" I didn't really know anything about musicals at the time. You know, I just knew them as, you know, movie musicals that I would watch at my grandmother's house, like Mary Poppins and Sound of Music. But yeah, that was my first time, you know, being in any sort of stage show. And yeah, 2 years later, I auditioned for NOCA and I got into NOCA. And then I furthered my studies there, studying everyday theater and acting, dance, voice and speech, all that. So, and then that got me into New York when I moved to New York in 2004.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Do you remember your first Broadway show, like, that you saw?
Well, with NOCA, they would bring us to the Sanger in New Orleans, and a lot of the tours would come through.
Yeah, so cool.
We would go, like, once every, like, few weeks or something. We actually saw Rent at the Sanger. I believe it was the 2002 or 2003 tour. We saw the producers there. But my first show that I saw in New York when I moved was 42nd Street.
Cool.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yes.
I was talking about 42nd Street today for some reason.
Yeah.
I have a question based on your job right now. Were you and are you and have you ever been a Rent head?
So, believe it or not, when I was in school, I wrote down 5 shows on a piece of paper. And I said, these are 5 shows that I will do at some point in my life. They were Hair, Hairspray, Ragtime, 5 Guys Named Moe, and Rent. And I got to do Hairspray in 2017 at a theater in New Hampshire. And when this opportunity came around for Rent, which the whole story was kind of strange because I had auditioned for another show and the casting director said, are you be interested in Rent? And I was like, okay, I didn't know that they were even casting for it. But yeah, I had listened to it a lot. It was one of those shows that, you know, we listened to all the time, you know, back in theater school, in high school.
Yep.
And of course, like, we saw the film, you know, when the film came out.
But, yes.
Yeah. You know,
my mom took me out of school early to go
Wait,
see
really?
It. Oh, yeah. She picked up me and all of my friends and we went and saw like a
long hair greatness.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it always, you know, in the back of my mind, I always had this idea that I really would that I wanted to do it. And, you know, when the opportunity came, I was really, really, really grateful and really happy that I got to do it.
That's awesome.
High school me is very jealous.
Yeah.
Now, what was the experience like of bringing Rent in the 25th anniversary tour, like around the country? Was it, did you have the experience of it being audiences who openly knew the show and like were like singing along or experiencing it, or do you still feel like you were affecting audiences who had never seen the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we definitely had a huge following and a huge fan base and people who had been following this particular production. So this production has been running since 2016, this tour. It started out as the 20th anniversary tour, now the 25th anniversary. So mm-hmm. we definitely had people who had been with the show since, you know, since they brought it back in 2016. And then, you know, we had some new people, some people who didn't know much about the show, or they knew Seasons of Love because right. everyone knows sure. that song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was, I would say it was a little bit of both. Yeah.
Great. That's fascinating. I mean, and in terms of like when you're bringing across the country, especially at this time, like audience reactions, like in terms of, I don't know, did it, this might have been hard for you to kind of guess because there's no stage door, all of that stuff, but like, you know, what was the audience reaction like in terms of like what we've all gone through, the communal aspect of the show, the idea of, you know, just what Rent is trying to convey? On top of that, you know, around, you know, I think people, I don't know if you were still doing the tour at this point, but, you know, Tick, Tick, Boom comes out. People are a little bit more hip to the Jonathan Larson story, potentially. Mm-hmm. I guess, did any of that affect the audience that you could tell, or was it really kind of just standard?
I definitely would say that we were in Chicago at the CIBC Theater, and it was our opening night in Chicago back in October. And for the first 2 minutes, I would say, we got just a standing ovation of applause. You know, we were the first show to open that season for that theater. It was a lot of people's first time being back in the theater, you know, after being away for a year and a half or so. So we were very, 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 you know, warmly welcomed by that audience. And I would say the majority of the audiences throughout the tour were very appreciative, very grateful. They showed their love constantly, you know, there physically and on social media as well.
Sure.
You know? So yeah, it was interesting. And because you know, with me being a swing, the times when I wasn't on stage, I was usually watching the show from in the house.
Mm.
So I had that experience of, you know, watching other people watch the show and watching them have their reaction and, you know, people singing along and people crying and laughing and bringing their family and their kids. So that was another like special element, I think, to being a part of the show and being a swing in that show.
That's now, a cool experience.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just excited to talk about this. As a swing, I know, because I followed it on social media when you got to kind of like check each role off on your list of your swingingness.
Yes.
Because I know you covered Paul during the affirmation meeting.
Yes.
And so, you also covered Collins and Benny?
Yes. Yes. So I covered Collins, Benny, and then all four male ensemble. So that's Paul, Mr. Jefferson, Steve, Gordon. Yes. And then Benny and Collins.
It's oh, wow. Whenever I'm trying to remember the ensemble members, I literally remember like when they're doing their name Steve, call. Yeah. Gordon.
Paul.
Pam. Like,
I honestly
have not listened to the cast album in years, and I think I could perform Angel. The entire show.
I know, right?
Like, because it was so ingrained in me when I was like 18.
And it's interesting, like doing that show, like reading the script. So during that scene, the support group scene, those names of those characters were actually names of friends that John
his real had. Friends.
And so there were some nights when we would, I don't remember what city, but there was a night that I went on and I said a name of a cousin that my mother had who actually passed of AIDS. So we would sometimes, you know, switch those names up, you know, depending on the night and on the city. But yeah, as far as like the ensemble men, because I didn't really know this before, but like, yes, so Mr. Jefferson is the Seasons of Love soloist and he sings all of the Christmas bells are ringing, that guy. And then Gordon is usually the one that's moving a lot of the set pieces and selling a lot of drugs. Steve is the waiter during the La Vie Boheme scene. Oh. And then Paul is almost always like a very, very heavy, heavy dance track. Mm. And usually Paul will cover Angel. Gordon will usually cover Roger and Mark. And then Mr. Jefferson usually covers Collins and or Benny.
And you cover them?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot to put in your brain.
Yeah, it was crazy. The rehearsals were interesting because, you know, the tour had been running, like I said, pre-COVID. And then once COVID happened, everything shut down. So when we came back, when it was time to come back for rehearsals in September, a lot of the cast that had been in the tour previously, you know, some people returned, some people didn't. So they kind of, you know, filled in those roles where it's needed. Some of the cast was the ensemble, you know, they might have been bumped up to principals. And then some people who were swings previously were bumped up to ensemble. So me and the six other newbies were the swings. So we were learning the show for the first time while I would say the majority of the cast was kind of reviewing what they already knew. So those rehearsals were, yeah, it was crazy, you know,
so being in. So what's easier? I know this is a relative question, but what is easier? Learning that many tracks in a musical you kind of know already, or learning a like maybe one or two tracks, or maybe just one in a show that you don't know at all?
I would say the latter. Rent, I underestimated how busy, I don't know if busy is the right word, but I'm just going to say how busy it is for the ensemble. They're doing a lot of things that you don't catch or you don't notice. There's a lot of things happening going on stage and going on backstage, which is why I was like, I got to watch the show as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'm like constantly with my, you know, my little pen with the flashlight taking notes, or like our associate choreographer, Owen, who was in the Broadway company, he gave us a little tip during rehearsals. And he was like, you know, just talking to your phone, you know, when you're watching rehearsal, instead of leaning, you know, down to take notes, just do voice notes. And that was like something that really, really, really helped me a lot, because then I could have the audio of the music, what was going on, and then have myself giving notes, you know, to myself.
You knew exactly like what moment you were thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really helpful.
We only rehearsed we had 18 days of rehearsal before we left for Kentucky for tech. So in those days.
That's not a lot.
Mm-mm. No. Nope. No, ma'am.
Wow. Woof.
But I, you know, I will say like the cast was and still is the most special group of people that I've ever worked with. Because every single time that I went on, I was so scared. I was so nervous. And I'm usually a very, very, very sure of myself type of performer. But knowing that everyone is there, everyone is supporting you, you know, they're going to shove with love, you know, if need be. That definitely put me, you know, at ease a lot and put a lot of my anxiety to rest.
Cool. Do you know where else you can put your anxiety to rest?
Where?
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's corner, and it gets slower every week.
Every time.
Are you? I'm just trying to keep up with Kevin because he's going so much slower than I am.
I'm just a slow man. I'm slow and steady. I win the race. Well, it's my corner, and I can do whatever I want. Welcome to Kevin's corner, Jeremy. So
with a K, Kevin's.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. There's only two of them. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Did you say two Q's? Yeah, it's two Q's. It's Quevin's Corner. And I'm really excited that you're here because I've been thinking about Rent.
Yes.
And sometimes when I go to sleep, I like to watch cartoons, like just like stupid cartoons to go to sleep. Right. So in Kevin's Corner today, you are going to cast the main characters of Rent only using cartoon characters.
Okay.
So we're going to start with, and for this, the cartoon character doesn't have to like have sung to prove that they can sing. Like you don't have to stick to just like, do you see what I'm saying? Like we'll pretend that like any character you pick can conquer the singing role. Okay. You're just picking.
They can hire a vocal performer.
Literally. To cover the vocals. This is okay. Just, you're just picking based on like personality or style or however you want to cast it.
Got
so
it.
For the, the pining crooner Roger, what cartoon character would you cast?
Fred Flintstone.
Oh my God, perfect. Okay, great. And then for Mark?
For Mark, who was that blonde? And he wore sunglasses. He was like kind of like
Johnny Bravo. Yes. Yeah. I love that we all can tell that you think Mark's hot.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So how about she's 19, Miss Mimi Marquez.
Probably Lola Bunny.
Oh,
you've sold me on this production.
Yeah.
All right. How about the
more backstory?
How about the loud and rambunctious Maureen?
It would probably be that. Okay, so Jessica Rabbit, but when Jessica Rabbit turns into like that kind of like weird character.
Oh, like the scary one that's not hot. That's like.
Like a little bit like wild and goofy.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, Joanne.
Joanne would probably be. Can I come back? I'll come back to her.
Yep, we'll do Collins.
Collins would definitely be. Who's that loud chicken?
Foghorn Leghorn.
I'll say.
He's so tall and like so. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, and then Angel?
And Angel would just be Bugs Bunny and drag.
Yeah. Okay, so we come back to Joanne.
And Joanne would be, I would say Ursula. She's, because Joanne is my favorite character in Rent, and Ursula is my favorite Disney character ever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this has been casting Rent with cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for coming to Kevin's Corner. That was well.
Anybody wants to fund this production?
Just someone draw us a picture of that.
Honestly.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. I don't like cartoons.
Oh my God, that's so good. So
thank you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So you're not just a performer now. You're also a TikToker. Is that correct?
You know, I'm learning. I'm listening and I'm learning. So on the tour, you know, I was known as Papa because I was the elder cast member. And so a lot of the young kids were teaching me a lot of things. I learned a lot about social media and TikTok. They taught me about this wild show, Euphoria.
Oh,
I just started watching it.
The kids at work have been telling me about this show.
It's crazy.
It's a lot.
I have to like pause it like mid-episode and go do something and then come back because I'm like, is this what the kids mm-hmm. are going through right now? But it's very, very, very good. It's just mm-hmm. intense and it's a lot. So we had in the cast, we had two like TikTok stars, and I'm talking like 500,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh.
And so I would, you know, see them, you know, making their things and doing their things. And so they kind of inspired me to get on and you know, putz around with it. And I love it. I love it. You can learn so much. I found so many great recipes and workout tips and just like
Remember when we made feta pasta?
Yes, I made that. I made
it. I made it too.
You better still believe right now. I still have like salmon and lunch from Emily Mariko.
Oh, yes. The salmon lunch. It's so good.
100%.
Hey, yeah.
That's awesome. What's your handle? Where can we find you on TikTok?
So I am Jeremy Abram 2.
I got it.
Apparently there was already a Jeremy Abram 1. Follow. So it's, thank you. Yes, it's Jeremy Abram, A-B-R-A-M, 2. And I think my profile picture is me peak pandemic eating a Burger King Sunday pie in the mirror.
I was like, that looks like some sort of fast food dessert. Not sure which.
Yes, the Hershey Sunday pie is top tier dessert from Burger King. And if they ever discontinue it, I will leave this earth.
Followed.
All right, you heard it here first.
Love it.
I'm proud of you.
Do you have a favorite thing about TikTok? Like, is there like?
I don't mean. I love that. Like. It's kind of I haven't figured out the algorithm of it yet, but it's like, so I post, you know, a video a day on there. My videos are, you know, about pretty much just any random thing that's happening to me that day.
Sure.
And then like when I scroll through it, you know, the videos that are on my For You page, it's usually things that, you know, it knows what I'm interested in. So usually like musical theater things, workout things, and food mostly. So I like that it will, you know, curate something for you and then it'll just be right there.
Yeah.
At your fingertips, literally. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like,
it's scary how accurate it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's very Black Mirror, but I don't mind.
Yeah.
And then it gives me the things I want. So yeah, I am okay with it.
Exactly.
Like if I talk about like, oh, I wish I knew how to do this. It's like, here's how you do it. Here's how to fix that pan you burnt a bunch of food on top of.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, you know, being on the road, you know, we were, you know, every 5 days, 6 days, we're in a different city. So, you know, when we were in Detroit, I would be getting all these TikTok videos about like places to eat in Detroit and things to do. And then like we go to Boston and like we get, all of a sudden I'm getting Boston videos. So yeah. Like, it knows, you know, it knows what's happening, what's going on.
Yeah, it knows where you are.
Mm-hmm. This isn't TikTok, but it's similar. I was in the office with young coworkers, and I was explaining to them the ridiculousness of like the early 2000s when like reality TV was really bursting out and they were just doing the most ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. And I brought up the Tila Tequila show.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, and they didn't know what that was. And recently? I hadn't talked about Tila Tequila or this show in like decades. Yeah. And I came home after work and sat down and turned on YouTube, just watched a few clips before I like started making dinner. And one of the most recommended clips for me was like examining bi culture in. It was examining bi culture in reality shows, and it was a picture of the Tila Tequila show, mm-hmm. and I was like. YouTube was listening to me on my phone or something. Oh, and yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok about her the other day. Because did you know she came out as straight later?
Oh, no, really?
So, like, it was all a joke.
Yeah.
And, like very, very far right, scary, scary things.
Scary.
Yeah.
But you know who still is magical? I Love New York.
Yes! Tiffany, what was her name?
Tiffany Pollard.
There you go, Tiffany Pollard. She's still fierce as ever.
She's fantastic. She's on this show.
I Love New York.
She's on this new show called Hot House. I haven't seen it yet, but my buddy Andrew Barrett Cox wrote the theme music.
This is Hot House. You're on it right now.
Yeah, my apartment right now. I turned this off. Yeah.
Yes, I love that so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God, early 2000s. And like, because she was on Flavor of Love, and then there was Rock of Love, right? With
you had Rock Brett, of Love, Michael. Flavor of Love. You had the show with Flavor, Flav, and Bridget Nielsen.
Yes, when they had, they were trying to like be in a relationship.
They were. I think it was called Strange Love.
Yeah.
And then you had The Surreal Life, which I was obsessed with.
Yes.
The Surreal Life.
The Surreal Life and The Simple Life.
And The Simple favorite. Life, which I had on DVD.
Oh, I think I did too.
Yep.
All the lives we used to own.
Oh, man.
I had Newlyweds, the Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey on DVD.
I remember that one. Nick Lachey. Ooh. Huh.
Yeah.
Remember when he sang What's Left of Me and he was sad, but he was so hot while he was sad?
He's still, I would say he's aged very well.
He's beautiful.
He really has.
Yeah.
As I've learned from the Love is Blind reunion, trying to get back to early 2000s reality show.
Come on, Love is Blind.
Well, speaking of reality shows, should we play a game?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Oh, this will be fun. I have a game of Dirty Hands on a Hard Body for everybody, which we haven't played in season 3.
That's true.
We actually haven't played this in a long time, so I'll remind us all of the rules.
Yes.
You have two hands. They're on something in front of you. That is your hard body. And then this is a categories game. So we will go around in a circle. I'll tell you what order you are on my screen to be the order we're going in. And just rapid fire say things in the same category. So for instance, if the category is colors, I would say blue. Kevin would say?
Red.
Jeremy would say?
Orange.
Brian would say?
Orange.
Oh no, Brian repeated a thing. And so now he puts a hand up. That's a dirty hand. If you get two dirty hands, you are out of the game and we play until someone wins.
Love it.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great. So the order we're going in, it goes me, Kevin, Jeremy, Brian, me, Kevin, Jeremy, Brian.
Okay.
So remember who's in front of you. And let's just start with the category of just reality shows from our youth.
Okay.
So
I will start with The Simple Life.
Qualifying question before you start.
Yes.
Game shows like do not count. It has to be like a reality-based program.
A reality-based program, but like maybe The Amazing Race counts.
Yeah.
They follow them outside of a studio.
Okay. Great. Okay, cool. So Singled Out does not count.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Oh, cool. Singled
like
Out.
Next counts.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Cool. Oh, right. Okay. So you said what?
The Simple Life.
Laguna Beach.
I'm going to say The Real World.
I'm going to go with one of the greats, Joe Millionaire.
Yes.
So good. The Joe Schmo Show.
Oh, I loved that one. The Hills.
Cops.
Good one. Big Brother.
The City.
Rock of Love.
The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Beauty and the Geek.
Oh, that was a good one.
The Mole.
Anderson Cooper. So good.
It's on Netflix. I started watching it.
Yes.
Five, four, three.
The Simple Life, two, part two.
One. Absolutely not. Now that Kevin is out, he gets to pick the next category.
Rude. Okay. Fine then. The next category is
yes.
Marvel characters in the MCU. And right. I'll start with Captain Marvel.
Is Aquaman a person?
Yes, but not in the MCU, unfortunately.
He's in the DC universe. Oh, okay.
Well, now, Jeremy, you get to pick the category.
To get back at Kevin.
Oh, I'm going to go with, ooh, I don't know, United States Capitals.
State capitals or just the one?
State capitals.
Okay.
Or just the one.
Like, that gives him the it's a brilliant, brilliant ploy because he goes first. So he,
oh, that's true. He's like, I'll say Washington, D.C.
No one's Brian, ever done ahead. That before. No one's ever done the pick a thing with one pick answer. One.
This is genius gameplay.
Wow. Oh, my God. This is brilliant.
I can't believe we never did that.
Why have we never thought of that?
Wow.
Okay. Start. State capital.
All right. State capitals.
Sure. I will say, okay, Baton Rouge.
Trenton.
Tallahassee.
Okay. Anchorage.
Albany.
I'm stressing out.
Harrisburg.
Oh, so now my turn goes to Kansas City. I don't think that's correct for either state.
No, I think it's Jackson. No, and Topeka? That's in Mississippi. I don't remember.
Is it Topeka?
I think it's Jackson City or something like that.
And it might be. Yeah, because is it St. Louis? No.
No, it's not St. Louis.
I was trying to be like, we can meet there. Missouri?
You can meet there. Yeah.
You can meet me there.
It's in Jackson. Yeah,
I was. A few weekends in May, I'll be there for weddings.
So is Kimberly out? Couples Jackson.
No, I just have one.
Okay. You get to pick a category.
And, yes, my next category, I wrote some down earlier today.
Oh, Jefferson City.
And I'm going to go with?
Jefferson City is Jefferson Missouri. City. Yeah.
Never Sorry. Heard of it. Sorry to my in-laws. I say holiday songs from musicals.
Good one.
And I will start with White Christmas.
Great.
Qualifying question. Can it be a yes. song sung during a holiday, but not necessarily relates back to the holiday?
As long as it takes place during a holiday.
Great.
Okay. My next one is... And It's Beginning to Snow from Rent. Is that a song?
Which holiday does that take place during?
It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there's also like a song called Christmas Bells, Kevin.
Is that what the song's called?
Yeah.
That's what I meant. That counts.
Yeah. Well, we call it, in the Rent world, we call it Big Bells because there's Christmas Bells and then there's like Christmas Bells 2 and then there's Big Bells that happens towards the end of
that. Is that the one where Mark's like, but I am so over her? That part?
Yes, those are the lyrics.
Okay. That's I was that part I always, no matter what part I'm trying to sing when you're singing along, I always sing that line like yeah. really loud because it's so funny how loud that comes out on the original cast recording. Okay, I digress. Go ahead.
Oh, I will say Halloween from Rent.
Ooh, good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Turkey Lurkey Time, a Christmas song from Promises, Promises.
The cast album of Groundhog Day.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. I don't remember any of the song numbers, so Groundhog
Day. Hard Candy Christmas from Best Little Whorehouse.
Is there a Negro Day song in Hairspray? Negro Day is a holiday.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's the day. It's the day that they segregated television for.
Or there's something about Labor Day in a musical. Or maybe. I think I'm.
Okay.
Once a Year Day from the Pajama Game. I don't know what holiday that is, but they're celebrating.
Well, now you can give us categories.
Yeah, and we all have a hand up, right?
I do not.
Except for Brian.
Brian doesn't. Oh, fine.
All right, Jeremy, give us a category.
Okay. How about... Ooh. Okay. I will say Bodies of Work by Audra McDonald. So it can be musicals, television shows,
okay,
concerts, anything that Audra McDonald was in or involved in.
Love it.
Sure.
Great. And now it is just three of us because you have two hands up and you're out. Sure.
Ragtime.
Lady Day.
Marie Christine.
110 in the Shade.
Carousel.
Porgy and Bess.
She's on the Good Fight.
Yes.
Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune.
Ooh, yeah.
Private Practice.
Right. Masterclass.
We said 110 in the Shade. We said this. Oh, Sound of Music Live.
Oh God, was she in Julius X?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Might have made that up.
Let's just count it and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You check it. We'll keep going. Moon for the Misbegotten.
Mm.
Oh, so we're back to me?
Yes.
Mm. Audra McDonald. Oh, The Gilded Age.
Oh, is she in that?
Yes, she's wonderful.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. Highly recommend.
Oh, cool.
Kevin, your turn.
Kevin.
You don't get to Google anything else except Julius X.
Yeah, I can't seem to find if that's true or not, but we'll pretend it is. A Raisin in the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast.
Word.
I don't know. Okay. I get two hands up, and now I pick a category for you and Kevin.
Yes.
Great. Characters from Rent. Battle.
Oh, Kevin goes first.
Yeah.
Characters from Rent?
Yes.
Benny.
Paul.
Muffy.
Mark.
On stage characters from Rent.
Okay. You didn't specify.
Yeah. Mark's
Pam.
Parents.
Pam.
Maureen.
Sue.
Roger.
Angel.
Collins.
Jumat. Chunard. Oh. The waiter.
Do we say Joanne yet?
No.
So I'm saying Joanne.
The model that lives in Penthouse A.
On stage characters.
Okay.
No, you don't get a guess and then say okay and get a second guess. That's not how this game works, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Shady. No, it's not.
We're secretly still in my corner.
I gotta go.
It's so good. The whole time.
It's so good.
A line reading for the ages.
For the absolute ages.
So good.
Anyway, that's been Hands on a Hard Body. Brian won. Like Brian does.
Woof.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, God, to end on a Doubtfire reference.
That does bring us to the end of our episode. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. Again, remind everyone where they can find you on TikTok, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
So on TikTok, I am just Jeremy Abram 2, ABRAM2. On Instagram, I'm Jeremy G. Abram. The same for Twitter, Jeremy G. Abram.
Awesome. Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we always end every episode with a quote. And today it's,
we do?
Let's open up a restaurant in Santa Fe. Our labors will reap financial gains. We'll open up a restaurant in Santa Fe and save from devastation our brains. thank you for joining us. You can follow us wherever you follow things, at Broad Wasted. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Join our Patreon. Find us on Facebook. And then, of course, follow Kimberly or I's TikTok. That's super fun, too. And then, yeah, you can find us. We're a podcast. So you can find us wherever podcasts are podcasting. And that includes Spotify, Stitcher, and, of course, Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Again, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. We had a blast. Come back whenever you want. We end every episode by raising a glass.
We do?
We do. And we say, Zoot-dee-wah-bump. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, salute. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.